Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. This is God's word. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or a kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get 2 bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time, the servant reported, "A cloud, as small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. After a long time, in the 3rd year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. What's the pattern in this man's life? He is where he is because it's where God told him to be. And there's a long time before the word of the Lord came again. God speaks to him, he obeys. And then what? Well, you just keep on doing what the Lord told you to do. Okay, but now what am I supposed to do? Well, what did I tell you to do? Keep doing it. It was a long time, in the third year, when God sends him a message again. God says, go present yourself to Ahab. Ahab wants to kill him, but he obeys. And he goes with a message that again requires great faith to deliver. Because the circumstances haven't changed. We're in the midst of a drought. But in the midst of that drought, God says, I'm about to send rain. So he obeyed and went to present himself to Ahab. Folks, obedience, 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 obedience. And it's going to come even more sharply later in the chapter.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So he goes and he meets up with Ahab's servant, who's out looking for a place that they might be able to pasture some of their animals. And this servant is startled and bows down. And Ahab has been, as we just said, trying to kill Elijah. This guy has been trying to save prophets, and he's saved 100 of them. So he says he's been providing them with food and water. Now, that was a great personal risk to himself. But when he says to Obadiah, go tell your master, Obadiah says, verse 9, what have I done wrong that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to put him to death? And then he goes on to tell about how he's a real believer and a follower of the Lord and he's done these good things. But he has already imagined the worst case scenario, and is just convinced this is what's going to happen. Do you ever kind of just imagine the worst case scenario and therefore I can't do this? You know, I can't do this because this could happen. I can't do this because this could happen. Go ahead and imagine the worst if you have to, but don't let it stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. So his great fear was that the Lord was going to, the Spirit of the Lord was going to carry Elijah somewhere else. What in the world is that talking about? Well, just jot down a couple of scriptures if you want. 2 Kings 2:16 shows an awareness of this phenomenon. 2 Kings 2:16. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 possibly refer to this. And Acts chapter 8, verses 39 and 40 are a New Testament occurrence with Philip the evangelist, who is just taken by the Spirit and put somewhere else. You mean God could like just all of a sudden take somebody and put them somewhere else? Well, yeah. Yeah. God could do that. As a matter of fact, God could turn you into two people if he wanted to, or 10. But the fact of the matter is, God doesn't do this kind of thing very often. He doesn't have to do it very often in order for it to be true. And apparently it happened enough in the life of Elijah that people knew about it. And as a result, Obadiah was really afraid that that's what was going to happen once again. He's going to go tell Ahab and Elijah will have disappeared. Elijah says, I'll be here. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what I told you. And so Obadiah, fearing for his life, goes ahead and does what he was told. And sure enough, when Ahab comes to where Obadiah said he'd find Elijah, he finds Elijah. And he blames Elijah for the problems that Israel's having. Okay? because you have sinned, trouble has come upon Israel. And he's saying, no, it's because of you. You prayed. Elijah says in verse 18, I have not made trouble for Israel, but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. It astounds me that Ahab did it. You know, I mean, that just blows my mind. It's like, okay. Why did he do that? Because God wanted him to. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it wherever he will, like a water course. God's in charge. You and I look at situations where wicked people have power, and we say, oh, what are we going to do? God's in control. God is in control. Ahab sent word throughout all Israel, assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel, and Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. What do most people do most of the time? Try and have it both ways. Okay? What did Jesus say? You cannot serve two masters. Why did he have to tell us that? Because most of us want to do that. We don't want to completely rule God out of our lives. Most of us are not that wicked. We just don't want to have to give up the other stuff, the other idols, the other things that we cherish, the sin that so easily entangles us. And Elijah says, no, you've got to choose. You can't have it both ways. If the Lord is God, then you're to serve him. And if he's not, don't bother. Well, when he said that, the people said nothing. Their response wasn't, he's right, we need to. It was like, you will encounter that also. Okay? There will be plenty of times when you have just delivered the word of the Lord, and people's response will be, okay, believe me, I know. Verse 22. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left. Was that a true statement or a false statement? Had Elijah already been told better than that? Yes, he had. Well, then, I mean, we're done right here. I mean, you know, he makes that statement out of this ridiculous, narcissistic complex that he has. And so clearly God's not going to be able to use him. No. Despite the fact that he felt that way, and it wasn't true, God's still going to use him in a mighty, mighty way. I am so grateful for that, because I know that I have a horrible capacity for saying and doing the wrong thing. And God, in his mercy, is able to use me anyway. I'm so thankful. So, and he says, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and cut it into pieces, put it on the wood, not set fire to it. I'll prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Now what follows is a very dramatic contest. But Elijah hadn't told the people that in addition to building the altar, which they got to watch, and putting the wood and the animal on it, he was also going to do something else, and that was involve the people in the project by pouring water all over the sacrifice, the wood, the altar. He lets them fill the jars with water and pour it over the top. And after they've done it, you know they're thinking, he's nuts. And he says, do it again. So they do it again. He says, do it a third time. So they do it a third time. I love this. Okay? He's saying, there's about to be a fire, And I want you to know it's not something that I sneaked in underneath the wood. So, they pour all this water on top. And then Elijah prays. Verse 36, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Here it is. And have done all these things at your command. Did you hear that? And have done all these things at your command. Elijah didn't decide, why don't we have a contest on top of Mount Carmel? God said, that's what I want you to do. The reason that this happened this way is because that's what God told him to do. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you living where you're living? Why do you live the way you live? Obedience. Obedience. So, when he prayed, answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And so Elijah said, now it's time to get rid of the prophets of Baal. Seize them. Don't let any get away. And they killed them all. They killed them all. That is an appropriate display of God's wrath. Now, God could have sent fire and burned up the prophets of Baal too. I would have been for that. Okay? Why did it happen this way instead of that way? Because this is what the Lord directed. He killed the prophets of Baal for the same reason that he poured water on the altar. He did what the Lord told him to do. And then he says to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there's the sound of a heavy rain. Even though he couldn't see the rain, he could hear the sound. And he knew what it meant. And so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. What's he doing? He is humbling himself before the Lord. And as he prays, God, please do what you've said. You said you're going to send rain. I've heard the sound of a heavy rain. I've proclaimed what I believe to be your word. Now please bring it to pass. And after he's prayed for a little while in that position of humility before the Lord, he says to his servant, go and look, tell me what you say. Servant comes back and says, I don't see anything. So he prays some more. And then he says to his servant, go check it out. And the servant comes back and says, I don't see anything. This happens seven times. Seven times the servant is sent. And after the seventh time, the servant says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's not very big. It's not very much. But it's an answer. And so Elijah says, Ahab needs to head out right now. If you don't start for Jezreel, the rain is going to overtake you and make it so that you can't even drive your chariot. It's going to be impassable. So get down the road. And then Elijah, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he tucks his cloak into his belt and he starts out running. And he runs ahead of the chariot and horses of the king. Wow. Wow. There are a lot of things about this story that are miracles. But I want you to see that sometimes the God of miracles asks you to do something that seems impossible. And the right response is to trust and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.